We keep hearing the R word.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There's a lot of talk about reform these days. And on this program today, we'll be talking about how Congress is getting involved with the prospects of changing pretty entrenched systems. We'll get to health care in a few minutes. But first, financial regulations. Today, the Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, and FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair will be on Capitol Hill to make their case about oversight reform and bank regulations. Could get dicey, though, because there are so many differing opinions on the subject. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
The White House wants to make the Federal Reserve the top cop, and that means other regulators would have to give up some of their cherished authority.
There is a lot of rivalry among the regulators.
As a Treasury official in the 1980s, Peter Wollaston helped deregulate the banking industry. He says regulators don't want to let go of any powers they already have.
Because you are really only a temporary steward of that agency, and you don't want people in the agency to look back and say, under so-and-so, we gave up this very important authority when we could have done it better than whoever is doing it now.
Regulators are also balking at the president's idea of creating a consumer watchdog. But Gail Hillebrand at Consumers Union says they have no right to be critical.
The regulators haven't done a very good job with consumer protection, and the current system isn't properly designed to deliver consumer protection.
Despite opposition from regulators and banks, Hillebrand hopes Congress will approve a consumer protection agency this fall. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Workers taking home some of the lowest pay get a raise today. The minimum wage jumps to $7.25 an hour. Advocates say it's good news for workers. Some economists say it could cause more layoffs because small business is already struggling. Not much of a fight on Wall Street yesterday. Stocks showed a little zoom. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ added more than 2.3%, and the Dow tops 9,000, up more than 188 points to close at 90.69. Microsoft reported profits in the latest quarter. It fell, those profits, 29%. And Netflix says its second quarter profit was up 22% from a year ago. Asian shares closed higher today, and European markets are higher right now as well. The British economy is still shrinking. Figures out today show a sharper decline in GDP than many analysts there had forecast. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
Britain's battered economy withered again in the last quarter. GDP shrank by 0.8%. That's better than in the horrendous first quarter, but still much worse than expected. One analyst said this is a wake-up call, a bucket of cold water for anyone already dreaming of recovery. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment. He says the key to the continuing malaise is the consumer's lack of confidence and credit.
When you actually look at the British economy, it is 60% dependent upon consumer spending. And we can see from these figures, consumer spending especially, services and financial services have been very badly hit.
Today's figures take the annual rate of contraction in the UK economy down to 5.6%. That's the worst in more than 50 years and almost exactly the same rate of decline as in the United States. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
City officials in Shanghai, China today started urging certain couples to go beyond that country's one-child policy. They're encouraging married men and women who happen to be only children themselves to have two kids, as worries about the aging population outweighs concerns about resources. It's the first time in decades Chinese officials have actively encouraged having children. By the way, on Monday's program, we're going to hear from Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan about the long and sometimes uneasy relationship between the United States and China. That's Monday on the Marketplace Morning Report.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
President Obama has been beating the health care reform drum for weeks now, trying to get Congress and public opinion on his side. It is a contentious issue, one that's taking many forms, and we want to give you an update on where Congress is on all of this. And for that, we bring in former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the debate at this point? Where are we going from here?
Well, here's the interesting thing. The AMA, American Medical Association, big pharmaceutical companies, and the private insurers are supportive of some sort of universal health care this time around. A big pharma, they see a lot of money in a mandate that requires every American to have health care. Private insurers also are seeing big bucks and are willing to go along as long as their business doesn't get drained away toward a so-called public option. And believe it or not, the AMA has also come out in support. They've been quietly told that doctors will do fine, too, and that Medicare reimbursement rates for doctors won't take a hit.
So these special interest groups are on board with the plan, right? But I understand there was a big hurdle in Congress.
Late last week, the Congressional Budget Office threw a monkey wrench into the works by reporting that the major plans being considered by the various committees in both the House and the Senate won't actually reduce long-term health care costs. In fact, they're likely to increase them. And that's made Republicans and even a lot of Democrats worried. Ironically, the major locus of opposition has now moved from the special interest groups, who are largely on board because they see opportunities to make money, to members of Congress who are concerned about long-term deficits, created in part because the business groups have been bought off.
But the House is closer to agreement than the Senate, right? So why won't they at least vote before recess?
Well, they don't want to take any move before the Senate. What's emerging as the most popular way to pay for universal health care, at least in the House, is a surtax on families earning over $350,000 a year. But the last thing House members want to do is vote for a tax increase and then find that the Senate doesn't go along. They don't want to be hung out to dry.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, Professor of Public Policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Hope you can join us at our website. Share your thoughts on the healthcare debate or the bank regulation debate, all at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.